Luke 23, from verse 44. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. This is God's word to us this morning. Father, please would you help us to see the beauty of our crucified Saviour. We ask in his name. Amen. Dead and buried. Now, that's a phrase that we sometimes use. And it basically means there is no hope. Dead and buried. So you might use it about political leaders. You might say their career is dead and buried. There's no way they're going to hold on to power. Or you might use it in sport. That team is dead and buried. There's no way they can come back from this. It's kind of a double whammy. If you are dead and buried, it's completely over. It is in the past. There is no hope. In the passage we just read, Jesus is dead and buried. And normally that means there's no hope. But for us, the fact that Jesus was dead and buried is actually a reason for great and certain hope. Luke writes his gospel so that as believers in Jesus, we can be sure, so that we can have certainty of the things that we have been taught. And we see that here. Luke wants us to be sure, firstly, that Jesus really was dead. That he really was dead. We heard on Sunday how Jesus was led out to be crucified, despite the fact that he had done nothing wrong. And crucifixion only ends one way, in death. And now, Jesus dies. Verse 44. It was about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. His breath left his body one last time. You don't have to think about breathing. We do it all the time. It just happens several times a minute, every minute of your life. But now, for Jesus, there was no physical impulse causing his muscles to contract and his lungs to inflate because he was dead. And Luke wants us to be certain that he really was dead. And so he supplies us with evidence, with eyewitness testimony. One of them is there in verse 47, the centurion. He was a powerful, capable Roman soldier. Perhaps he himself was overseeing the execution of these three prisoners. A man familiar with death. Death is his trade. And with his own eyes, he sees that Jesus is dead. He uses the past tense. He says, "Surely this was a righteous man." He isn't anymore. I've just seen him breathe his last. In other accounts we read, the soldiers made extra sure that Jesus really was dead by thrusting a spear into his side. Some people suggest that on the cross, Jesus passed out. He fainted, and then he recovered again in the tomb. But that's nonsense. The centurion knew that Jesus really was dead. And there were more witnesses as well. Look at verse 48. When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and they went away. Here is a gathering of people who were specifically there to see the same real event. And they pound their chests because Jesus is dead. And it wasn't a random set of people. They were friends, verse 49. All those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee. They stood at a distance watching these things with their own eyes. Some people suggest that it wasn't actually Jesus on the cross. It was just a lookalike. That's nonsense. These were people who for years had lived with Jesus and loved Jesus, and they themselves witnessed the fact that their master was dead. I don't know if you've ever seen a dead body. It's not a very pleasant thing. There's a kind of a darkness and a hopelessness. And so it seems as the body of Jesus becomes the corpse of Jesus, as our Saviour breathes his last. And yet, there is hope. He really was dead, but he really was righteous. That's what the centurion said, verse 47. Seeing what happened, he praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man. Surely, definitely, this was a righteous man. Having seen all that I've seen, I am utterly convinced, I'm completely certain that this man was righteous." What had he seen? Well, he'd seen, verse 44, the sky go dark for 3 hours in the middle of the day. When the sun was at its highest, it's like someone turned out the lights. Darkness is a symbol of God's judgment and displeasure. As Jesus bore the shame of sinners on his shoulders and is treated as though he were unrighteous. The centurion had seen, or at least he'd heard about, the temple curtain torn in two, verse 45. That huge curtain in the temple, which is a barrier between God and his people to keep unholy people out of his all-consuming holy presence. The barrier that was there because ever since Adam and Eve sinned, it's impossible to have a close relationship with God. And yet as Jesus dies, free forgiveness is poured out. The way is made. The path is paved to be with our holy God. The barrier is removed and relationship is restored. The centurion had seen and heard as our Lord Jesus called out with a loud voice, a voice of trust in his Father's will, verse 46. A voice that echoes King David in Psalm 31, the voice of a trusting king. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." He had seen the Lord Jesus breathe his last, his chest no longer heaving up and down, his body still and limp. No doubt he'd seen the trial. He understood the controversy. He knew who Jesus claimed to be. And now this hardened soldier, as he comes face to face with the cross of our Lord Jesus, he tots up all the evidence and he is moved to conclude, "This was a righteous man." And that is our hope, because the really righteous one really did die. He had to be righteous to pay the punishment that I deserve because I'm not righteous. He died in my place so that I don't have to suffer God's darkness, displeasure that I deserve. So that I can walk straight into his presence without burning up. So that even when I die, I will live. It's been sad to see on the news in the last couple of days the young couple who lost their lives in a buggy accident in Greece. That young couple were believers in the Lord Jesus. They were friends of friends. They were members of Hope Church in Vauxhall, with whom we have a partnership, with whom we pray. And if you read the article that was on BBC News, it was very clear that despite the tragedy of this young couple in their mid-20s dying in such tragic circumstances, yet there was hope. Their family said this: "We are confident of the joy that they are experiencing right now with Christ on high. We continue to grieve, but we will never lose sight of this certain hope." That's the hope that is found because Jesus died in the place of all who trust in him, including those two who are now with him. When God breathes out, he breathes life in. When God made Adam, he breathed into his nostrils and man's limp body came to life. As in creation, so in salvation. As Jesus breathes his last, it's as if he breathes spiritual life into our nostrils. As his body goes limp, our limp body comes to life for the first time, truly living as we should, experiencing the true life of knowing God. Jesus breathed his last so that we could breathe our first. Jesus really was dead, but that's a reason for hope. Second, Jesus really was buried. Now, why are we told about Jesus' burial? Why does it matter? Why is it important? Well, at least in part, I think it's more certain evidence that Jesus really died. It's literally a nail in the coffin. Occasionally you'll hear of people who perhaps have had a heart attack or a seizure, and eventually they recover. But they say things like, you know, technically, I was dead for 11 minutes, and then I was revived. There was a time where medically their body was dead, but through the wonders of modern medicine, they could be revived. But that's not the case with Jesus. He was dead, and he was buried. As the tomb was sealed, so his fate was sealed. And it's important that Jesus was buried because this was all part of God's predicted plan. The Old Testament is full of promises about the coming Messiah. And Jesus himself made predictions about his own life and death. He said the Messiah would suffer and die, and after 3 days, he would come back to life. Not 3 minutes, not 3 hours, but 3 days. This is not resuscitation, it is resurrection. And so Luke wants us to be certain that Jesus really was buried. So notice how the person responsible for his body is not some shady scoundrel who might pull some sneaky tricks, but he is a public figure with a good reputation. Verse 50, there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man. Notice how he goes through all the official channels. Verse 52, going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. He's not going behind anyone's back. He's got all of the proper paperwork. And notice where he is laid. Verse 53. He took the body down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. There could be no mistaking which linen-bound corpse went missing. He was the only one in the tomb. And notice again how many witnesses there were. Verse 55, the women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how the body was laid in it. Some people suggest that the women went back to the wrong tomb. Nonsense. They were all there.
They saw it with their own eyes, not to mention that the right tomb was the one that was guarded by a band of soldiers. I don't think there were many tombs being guarded by soldiers. Jesus really was buried, and normally that's the end. If you've ever been to a funeral or stood in a graveyard, it's not really a place of great hope. And yet, for believers, believers like us, believers like Joseph of Arimathea, there is hope. Jesus really was buried, but he really was king. Did you notice in verse 51, Joseph himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Here was a man who was eager for that promised day when God would begin to bring about his rule and his reign. And he may not have realized it, but this death and burial was a key part of that coming kingdom. The crown of thorns may have been mockery. The purple robe may have been ironic. The sign above his head, which read, King of the Jews, that may have caused people to sneer and to jeer. But Jesus really was king. At the cross, he defeats his enemies and gathers his people. The kingdom had come. God's rule and reign had begun. And very soon, King Jesus would be raised and exalted and seated in the highest place to rule and reign over all of creation. You see, hope is ours because this really wasn't the end. I don't want to spoil the surprise of Easter Sunday, but you can't read these verses without knowing that this is not the end. This section doesn't read like the closing pages of a biography. In fact, Luke is about to write volume 2, the book of Acts. This isn't the end of the story. These verses are dripping with anticipation of what's to come. At the end of this chapter, it's not closure, it's a cliffhanger. Verse 54. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. Something's coming. Verse 55, the women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how the body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, and they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. They're not finished. The story is not wrapped up. They expect to head back after the Sabbath and finish the job. Little did they know the surprise they were going to get. And so these words are pregnant with hope. If Jesus was simply dead and buried, we couldn't be certain about hope. But because he is alive, we can look back at his death and his burial and see that this dark and tragic scene is not the end of the line. Jesus was dead and buried. But even those words brim with hope. Can I ask you, do you know that certain hope for yourself? Can you say, surely this is a righteous man? Have you trusted King Jesus? Have you come into his kingdom? Without Jesus, there is no certain hope. But if you know Jesus, the execution of an innocent man is somehow a wonderful thing. It's rightly called Good Friday. So friends, let us remember with gratitude. And let us rejoice with hope. We're going to do that in a few ways.